Chapter 13. In Search of the Truth. The story is continued by Walter Hartwright.
I am renting 2 floors above a shop. I live on the top floor. Laura and Marion live on the floor below. I am selling my drawings to pay the rent. The world thinks that Laura, Lady Glyde, is dead, and for the time being, we must let them believe that she is. I intend to prove that Laura is Lady Glyde, the victim of a terrible fraud. I believe that it was Anne Catherick who died in Fosco's house, and that the death was registered in the name of Lady Glyde. Count Fosco took Laura to the asylum, where she was and still is believed to be Anne Catherick. Sir Percival and Countess Fosco, who were to inherit Laura's money after her death, have received £30,000 by this fraud. Marion and I started to gather information that would help us prove that the fraud had taken place. Marion wrote to Mrs. Mickelson, the housekeeper at Blackwater Park. She asked her to write down everything she remembered about the events that took place before Laura left Blackwater Park. I also arranged a meeting with Mrs. Pinhorn, the cook at Count Fosco's home. She told me everything she knew about the death of the person who she believed to be Lady Glyde. I then went to see Mr. Gilmore. He was very surprised when I told him Laura's story. "I believe everything you've told me, but you haven't got any proof," he said. "Lady Glyde's aunt saw her die, and the doctor signed her death certificate. Mr. Fairley insists that she is dead, even after seeing the person you say is Lady Glyde. I'm sorry, Mr. Hartwright, I can't help you."
"How can I get proof?" I asked.
"You must prove that Lady Glyde arrived in London after the date written on her death certificate."
"Neither Lady Glyde nor the servants remember the date," I said. "Only Sir Percival and Count Fosco know it."
"They will never help you," laughed Mr. Gilmore.
"I will force them to confess it," I said. "Sir Percival has a secret. If I find out what that secret is, I can use it to force him to confess. Do you know if Sir Percival is still in France?"
"His solicitor told me that he has returned to London," said Mr. Gilmore.
"He gave me a letter."
"This letter arrived a few days ago for Miss Halcombe. Please, will you give it to her?"
"Of course," I said. I thanked Mr. Gilmore and shook his hand. When I left Mr. Gilmore's office, I saw a man standing at the corner of the street. He looked at me, then started to follow me as I walked down the street. Sir Percival knew that Marion would ask Mr. Gilmore for help. He may have sent someone to watch Mr. Gilmore's office. I walked faster and turned into a side street, but the man turned into the street too. I walked quickly into the main street and stopped a cab. I jumped in and told the driver to go quickly to Hyde Park. We crossed Hyde Park, and when I was sure that nobody was following me, I got out of the cab and turned towards home. When I got back, Laura was resting in her room. Marion opened the letter Mr. Gilmore had given me.
"It's from Count Fosco," she said, and read me the letter.
"Dear Miss Halcombe, I admire you very much. You are a clever woman, but be sensible. Tell your friend Mr. Hartwright not to do anything he will regret."
"He's frightened," I said. "That's good. I'm going to find out Sir Percival's secret, and then I will force him to confess."
"Laura told me that Anne Catherick's mother knows the secret," Marion said. "Then I'll go and visit Anne's good friend, Mrs. Wesley, and find out what she knows about Mrs. Catherick."
"Mrs. Wesley stayed with friends when she was in Cumberland," said Marion. "I know the family. I'll write and ask them for Mrs. Wesley's address." After the reply came with Mrs. Wesley's address, I went to visit her. At first, she didn't remember me, but when I reminded her that we had met in the graveyard in Cumberland and that I had helped Anne escape from the asylum, Mrs. Wesley took me into the living room. "Do you know where Anne is?" she asked anxiously. "I'm very worried about her. She has a weak heart, and the doctor says she doesn't have long to live." I couldn't tell her the truth yet. I could only tell her that I was afraid that something terrible had happened, and that I would let her know more as soon as I could. Mrs. Wesley told me that she had taken Anne to Blackwater Park to speak to Lady Glyde. The next day, Anne gave Mrs. Wesley a letter to take to Blackwater Park. She met a tall, fat man, Count Fosco, who told her he was Lady Glyde's friend. He was very kind and offered to give the letter to Lady Glyde himself. She gave him Anne's letter and told him that Anne was very ill and didn't have long to live. "Can you tell me about Anne's mother?" I said. "Did you know her well?" "Yes, I lived next door to Mrs. Catherick and her husband in the village of Remington for many years," Mrs. Wesley replied. "Mr. Catherick was the clerk at the church, and everyone liked him, but he wasn't Anne's real father. No one knows who Anne's father was. One day, Sir Percival, whose parents were from Remington, arrived in the village. Mrs. Catherick started to meet him in secret, and he gave her gifts. Mr. Catherick found the gifts and became suspicious. One day, he saw Sir Percival and his wife whispering outside the church. Furious, he packed his things and left the village forever." "Does Anne look like Sir Percival?" I asked. "No, not at all, nor does she look much like her mother." "How did you become so close to Anne?" "Mrs. Catherick is a cold-hearted woman and spent very little time with her daughter, whom she seemed to hate. As Anne spent most of her time in my house, I was more of a mother to her than Mrs. Catherick was." "Has Mrs. Catherick always lived in the village?" I asked. "No. Before she came to Remington, she was a servant at the home of Major Donthorne." I wrote down Major Donthorne's name and address. "Do you know why Sir Percival put Anne in an asylum?" I asked. "I only know what Anne told me. Her mother knew that Sir Percival had a secret and had told Anne about it. When Sir Percival found out that Anne knew, he put her in an asylum." Mrs. Wesley told me Mrs. Catherick's address. "Are you sure you don't know where Anne is?" she asked. "I don't think we will see Anne alive again," I replied quietly. "I can't tell you how I know, but I promise I will soon."